Thank you for downloading from the BBC. For details of our complete range of podcasts and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.
Hello, I'm Steve Evans. Welcome to Business Daily. In the programme today, from the dust of Sudan comes a hopeful voice.
We are trying as a government to make a very good atmosphere for investors from Middle East and other countries to enhance agriculture investment climate.
Plus, the man who's given away $300 million on how shyness will be much harder.
It's a bit more publicity than one might like. It won't be as easy to lay back and be anonymous as it was before.
All that in an undiffident Business Daily from the BBC. Now, the great surge in food prices seems to be over, at least for the time being. Wheat prices have been falling now for about 2 months, though it should be said that despite the falls, global food prices are still 80% higher than they were in 2005. And bad memories of the high prices do remain strong. Food riots do tend to concentrate the political mind, don't they? Politicians have been jolted into worrying about what's called food security, having a reliable supply well into the future. All around the world, in China and in Saudi Arabia, for example, governments are concluding that more land needs to be brought into cultivation and not necessarily their own home soil. All this has drawn investors to parts of Africa with marginal land, poor land that could be turned into good land with a bit of investment. Amber Henshaw reports from Sudan.
I'm on the outskirts of Khartoum. In front of me, there's kilometre after kilometre of brown, sandy, arid land. At the moment, most of it's not being used for anything. But the government says this land and millions of hectares across the country is fertile and perfect for agricultural development. Abdul Dafi Ali is an agricultural commissioner at the Ministry of Investment.
We believe in agricultural development. We are trying as a government to make a very good atmosphere for investors from Middle East and Gulf and other countries to enhance agriculture investment climate. Sudan is a country of very huge resources in agriculture, in land and water.
Sudan is tempting business people from around the world with the promise of cheap land and long-term leases. Officials in Khartoum say they've been inundated this year with interest from investors from the world's richest nations, from Europe as well as Arab countries in the Far East, as the pressure from rising food prices hits home. Osama Daoud Abdul Latif, the chairman of one of Sudan's most successful companies, the Dahl Group, which is expanding into agriculture, says Sudan is perfect for investors.
The international community as a whole should look at places like Sudan, which can increase the food supply, because I think in many, many places we have reached saturation or whatever can be done. Saudi Arabia was producing 2.5 million tons of wheat for themselves. They are now going to import that much. And countries like Australia are going down, and I think most likely long term. So we have to find new sources of food, you know, if we are going to survive.
This poultry farm north of Khartoum is run by an Egyptian company. State-of-the-art facilities scattered across a big compound surrounded by semi-desert. At the moment, they sell eggs and chickens in Sudan, with most of the profits going back to Cairo. They plan to expand over the next few months. The manager of Inma Poultry, Abdulaziz Al Barbary, says the firm has been encouraged by its success.
This country is very promising for investors to come here. Many investors from Saudi Arabia, from Gulf area, from Egypt, they are coming to cultivate lands here. And we also will have more than 50,000 faddans to cultivate sorghum maybe in the next future.
It's not just private businesses that are coming to Sudan. The United Arab Emirates government has signed up for thousands of hectares south of the capital. Khartoum hopes that agriculture will contribute around half of the country's total economic activity over the next few years and has even more ambitious plans for further down the road. Abdullah El-Hajj is head of external communications at the Ministry of Investment.
We are considering oil as a dead product. It's going to die very soon. That's why, although we are producing oil and we are now at the first step of production of oil. But we are considering agriculture. That's our sustainable area where we can depend on. We have to make use of all our revenue from oil to go to agriculture, because that is where we are to sustain ourselves.
But not everyone is convinced by this plan.
I would think it was much less likely to succeed now. It was always a slogan that had very little substance in practice and was seen just as a way of making money by certain members of the government.
There was a similar attempt to kickstart the agricultural sector, which failed in the 1970s. Problems included concerns about land ownership and overuse, as well as small farmers losing their property and not being compensated. Many believe the same problems will crop up this time round. Jill Lusk is an Africa expert.
The moment I hear the slogan breadbasket of the Middle East or breadbasket of the Arab world, which was around after the petrol booms in the 1973 and 1975 oil price booms, it didn't come to anything then. People just laughed. They saw it as a political device. Frisian cows were imported to Sudan, but of course there was nothing for them to eat. There was no grass. There was no fodder. You know, this kind of thing was an absolute disaster. And a lot of people, you know, government ministers and so on, made a lot of money out of it. And I would imagine the same kind of thing would happen again.
Observers have also been concerned about the prospects of Sudan making millions from agriculture when large swathes of the country, like Darfur in the west and parts of the south, are heavily reliant on international food handouts. Sudan says long-term this investment could help break the cycle of food dependency once and for all. International experts are yet to be convinced.
Amber Henshaw reporting from Sudan. Loads and loads of interesting questions raised there, of course. What needs to be done to bring this poor land into production? And these poor farmers, I suppose, into profitability. It's a question I put to Dr. Hafez Ghanem. He's the Assistant General Secretary of the UN's Food and Agriculture Organization.
There is a need for investments. There is also a need for building institutions, not just to build the irrigation projects, but also for operations and maintenance of those projects. There is a need for educating farmers and supporting them. The cost of all of this is not huge. If you compare it with, for example, the cost of saving the banks as a result of the financial crisis, it is nothing. And yet, it could have a huge impact on hunger and poverty in the world.
As we see the world heading towards recession, we assume, are you worried about protectionism, where countries only worry about their own food supply?
Absolutely. I think this is a very serious threat. And I would like to mention two aspects. One is closing markets in rich countries so that it becomes very, very difficult, if not impossible, for poor farmers to compete on an equal footing in the world market. And that obviously hurts agriculture. And we know that more than 70% of poor people in the world depend on agriculture for a living. The other kind of trade policies that we have seen over the last year that is hurting food security are export restrictions.
Like in India?
There are more than 20 countries in the world that have imposed some kind of export restriction last year. It is understandable that the governments facing a food crisis says, well, my first responsibility is to feed my people, so I will not export, and they put in place export
restrictions. But it pushes prices up.
Exactly. So what seems to make sense from an individual country's perspective is actually harmful for the whole world, including for that country, because world prices go up, people in other countries are hurt, and it backfires on the producers and consumers in that country. In the long run, the country that puts export restrictions is indirectly taxing its producers.
And we see signs that Saudi Arabia and China are buying up huge tracts of land in Africa to guarantee their own food supplies.
That actually is potentially a very positive development. Building joint ventures in agriculture could be very positive as long as those joint venture projects are designed in a way so that also the poor farmers in those countries get to benefit from it. What we are advising countries is to avoid building enclave projects as joint
ventures.
So
the food produced by those small farmers with Saudi Arabian money or Chinese money should be available on world markets?
Normally it would be available on world markets, should be available in the domestic market. But small farmers in developing countries, especially in Africa, suffer from the lack of technology, from lack of infrastructure, and from very poor access to markets. And that explains their poverty. If the new joint venture project from the Chinese, the Saudis, or whoever, brings with it an improved infrastructure, brings with it extension services and information for the farmers and better access to markets, then it will benefit everybody.
And that was Dr. Hafiz Ghanem from the FAO. What do you think should be done? Genetic modification, for example? What about beggar my neighbour food policies where governments only think of their own people? Let us know what you think. world.business@bbc.co.uk. And you're listening to Business Daily from the BBC with Steve Evans.